with us, and we especially welcome you to our assembly and to this day of worship. Been asked to remind you of the Vacation Bible School planning meeting today before the evening service at 4 o'clock. Also, for next Sunday after the evening service, we'll be honoring our high school graduates. We have 9 this year, and we want to spend time in acknowledging them, recognizing them, and honoring them. Also, we want to remind you of 2 that had surgery this past week, Ron Means and Becky Hainstock, and for you to continue to pray for them as well as the others on our list. Last Sunday, I chose 2 texts from the Gospel of Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, of the words of Jesus. Today, I would like to choose a text from Peter's writings, 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. He described Christians in the midst of their persecution, their suffering in the first century, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because, he says, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is a powerful statement by Peter in the midst of this terrible situation of the Christians and what they were enduring. And here he is urging them to this new kind of life, this life of holiness. And when the Bible refers to an ancient text, an Old Testament text, it does so with power, with intent, with emphasis. He's referring here to the book of Leviticus, a book for the priest. And it is out of that context that he says, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 11, verse 44, and Leviticus 20, verse 7. There is a whole section in that chapter, Leviticus chapter 21, that deals with the holiness of the priest who served the people before God. And therefore they were called to be holy because God himself is holy. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, he says, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all of the peoples who are on the face of the earth. This shows that he had called the people of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, to be different from the nations round about, and therein establishing their holiness or their separateness from the heathen nations who did not know God and who worshiped false gods. Peter, therefore, in relying upon this text, brings that to their remembrance so that they would be a people like those called to be priests of God. And he gives actually 2 reasons for admonishing them to be holy or to be different, to be separate. One of them is that this should be characteristic of people who suffer for God. He said in chapter 4 of 1 Peter that you should not suffer as a murderer or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him rather glorify God in this way. And therefore he is urging them to be holy in the midst of their suffering. A second powerful reason that he gives for this statement is because God is holy. The one who has called you is holy, therefore you should be in all manner of your life. You should be like the one who has called you. Now we read this statement, because I am holy, God is holy, and we accept it without very much further questioning. It would not have been so in ancient days. they would have thought carefully about what Peter just said. Why did the law of Moses give this special emphasis on the holiness of God? Why wasn't it something that they would readily accept, just as you and I do, that God is pure, God is righteous, God is holy? We have to remember the setting of the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. They had just come out of Egypt, a nation of idolatry, where there were many gods, and they had entered into a land like that. They were supposed to have driven out those nations in the land of Canaan, but they did not. And therefore, many of their gods remained in the land. And here is a point of distinction. Those false gods, as they were described to the people, as they understood them, were not holy. In fact, they were anything but. They were very immoral gods. They were very much like human beings. They were petty, jealous, lustful, filled with pride. And so the contrast here is that God is holy in the sense, in one sense, that He is distinct and separate from the gods of the nations round about. I want to remind you of one of those gods that was worshipped in that land and that the people would have known very well. It is that old god of the Canaanites, and particularly of the Ammonites, that was named Molech. We don't know the origin of this god, how he came into their thinking, into their being, but we know the nature of this god. He is referred to at least 8 times in the Old Testament, and never in a good way. The first mention of this god is Leviticus 18, verse 21, in which the people were commanded, "You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech, and so profane the name of your God, for I am the Lord." The worship of this terrible god named Molech, which clearly involved child sacrifice, was something that God held as detestable, and naturally so. That the people would be led to do such a terrible thing as to offer their own little children in sacrifice to this god. If any among the Israelites were caught doing that, they were to be stoned to death. It was a matter that God had in His mind to such a degree that any who participated in it would be judged unto death. In Leviticus 20, verse 3, "I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name." And so here is the beginning of the list of those 8 occasions where Molech is mentioned, and in every case he is denounced and judged. And if any were to have worshipped him, they were to be put to death. Here is a stern and clear warning from God in the book for the priest, that this is something that they were to watch for, to be careful about, and to have not allowed this worship to be spread among their people. By the way, this god is particularly associated with the Ammonites. If you remember the history, there were 2 sons born of Lot and his daughters. After his wife died, in their fleeing from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, only ones remaining in the family were Lot and his 2 daughters. And the daughters, perhaps thinking that all others had perished, as did the citizens of Sodom, that only remaining would be them. And therefore, they had an incestuous relationship with their father. And born to them were these two sons, Moab, which means born of my father, and Ammon. And from the Ammonites came the worship of this terrible God that demanded of them, at least in this teaching, demanded of them the worship by sacrifice of their children. Solomon, being involved in so many marriages, ended up marrying some from this group of people. And because of that, began to establish this worship in the land of Israel among God's people. And so Solomon making a terrible mistake here in allowing these multiple wives to lead him into supporting from the government these various terrible pagan gods. And then we find finally in Jeremiah these words. They set up their abominations in the house that is called by my name to defile it. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they would do such an abomination to cause Judah to sin. God said this was such a terrible thing. I would never have imagined that any people would have done it. And here they are offering their children to this awful, this terrible God. By the way, the gods of the ancient Greeks were also immoral, highly immoral. One example is their high god, the ruler of their gods, the ruler of the sky, Zeus. And that he was the ruler of Mount Olympus. But he was as immoral as he was powerful. He had mated with at least 12 females, both goddesses and mortals. And his first wife was his sister Hera, in Greek mythology, the queen of Olympus, who devoted herself to the destruction of his other children, to Zeus's other children. And so these gods that even the ancient Greeks and Romans worshiped, according to their own teaching, according to their myths that has spread so richly among them and that everyone knew, the gods were immoral. Now imagine that. Imagine accepting in your mind that the God that you serve is an ungodly God. How can that be? That he's immoral. That he does things that human beings do. That he commits fornication. That he's lustful and prideful, jealous, hateful, doing mean and unthinkable things. If that is the nature of the God that you have in your mind, you will never be able to rise above it. No society ever has. In fact, the truth is, we almost always fall short of the God that we worship. And so how will we ever survive if our gods are immoral? This is the context in which Peter is quoting the book of Leviticus, where God says to his people, I want you to be holy, for I am holy. And so it is out of this background that we come to know who God is. And when Paul stood at that adulterous city, that ancient city of Athens, and he saw their multiple temples, and how they had given themselves over to so much superstition, the King James says, or to numerous religions. And they had one altar to the unknown God. And Paul said, I noticed that when I entered into your city. And it is that God, the unknown God, that I declare unto you. Now that is unique. Paul said, you don't know God. You do not know the true God of heaven and earth. Therefore it is this God, this holy God, that I am declaring to you. It is to be noted that the pagan nations rejected the notion of a holy God. They wanted to live that kind of life. And in doing so, had condemned themselves. So what is involved in the statement of Peter? We're going to investigate both this morning and tonight. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Two parts to it. The nature of our God is holy. And he demands of those who come to him to live after his likeness, that we are to be a holy people. And I want to emphasize especially today one of the statements of the New Testament about our being holy. And it is in our worship. This is what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I will, therefore, that men everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. By the way, the word here for men is the male. We know that because that's the word used. But it is not to be taken in the general sense in which we would say man or mankind. But it is, I will therefore that men. When you lead in worship, you are to lift up holy hands unto God. I know that to be so because the very next verse says, in like manner also your wives, the women. This is how the women are also to behave, as women professing godliness in verse 10. And that they would be saved in verse 15 if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And so everyone here is addressed, both men and women, in the worship of God, in being the people of God. And that they are to approach God because he is holy, we are also to be holy. Paul gave special emphasis to that in the communion in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, let a man examine himself and so take of that bread and drink of the cup. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to his soul, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are sickly and asleep among you. The Old Testament in Leviticus 21 described the holiness of the priest of God. And Christians, all Christians, in the New Testament period, are a holy priesthood. Think about the priests, the Levites. The book of Leviticus is for them. They were first of all to be anointed by God. The prophet would come and they would be anointed with oil. That signified that they were set apart for a holy purpose in the service of God. And he described not only their outward being, how they were to dress, but also what they were to do and to be careful not to touch an unclean body, for example, or a dead body. There were specific instructions about what it meant to be holy. It involved their marriage. They had to marry a pure person, not one who had been with others, not one who had been divorced. And so there were specific instructions in the book of Leviticus about the nature of the holiness of the priests of God. And now Peter is connecting that for all of us in the New Testament, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. By the way, this single passage connects the nature of God in the Old Testament to the nature of God in the New Testament. Just as God was holy in the Old Testament period and very different from the gods of the nations round about. They were immoral. God was holy. So also is the God of the New Testament. There is no difference between the two. Some scholars have tried to divide these two, as if to say the God of the Old Testament was vengeful and a God of wrath. But the God of the New Testament is different. He's a God of grace. He's a loving God. That misunderstands everything that is taught us about God in Scripture. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that you and I worship. The God who is different from the gods of the ancient Egyptians and Greeks and Canaanites. That holy God is the God also that we worship. And just as those people were called to be holy, so also are we. Listen to other statements of the New Testament. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in the lust of evil desire, even as the Gentiles who know not God. Paul said you should know how to control yourself. You should know how to restrain your body and to live a pure life. This is your sanctification. This is how you're to be markedly different from the world. Paul said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The ESV says, bringing holiness to perfection. And that is that we are to grow in holiness. We are to increase in our likeness with God. And we are to learn to be self-disciplined and God-disciplined. And we are to be a different people. This matter of coming before God carelessly, we are warned about everywhere in Scripture. Who will enter into the hill of the Lord, the holy hill of God? Who shall approach unto him? Psalms 24. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not sworn deceitfully. And so the person here is being described as the one who would be accepted before God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Paul said, even though there were some who were saying the resurrection was past already, overthrowing the faith of some, and you have all of these difficulties to face in religion, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that is named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then listen to this story, this illustration. In every great house, there are many vessels. There are many containers. Some to honor, some to dishonor. There are vessels of gold and silver. There are vessels of wood and clay. And if you will purge yourself from these, that is, the dishonorable vessels, if you purge yourself from these, you become vessels sanctified and meet for the master's use. What did he say? He said, in everybody's house, you have a lot of different kind of vessels, containers. Just about every house I've ever known had a garbage can in it. That's a kind of vessel, garbage cans. You don't drink water out of it. But you have clean vessels in the refrigerator, glasses, from which you drink clear, pure liquids. And so you have vessels unto honor that are clean. And you have vessels that are to dishonor. And he wants us to purge ourselves from these unclean vessels and become vessels sanctified, there's the word for holy, and suitable for the master's use. When I was in college, Mississippi State, years ago, 1970s, a young preacher came to our congregation on campus. I was in my early 20s, and he was probably 7 or 8 years older than I. He was Brother Rubel Shelley. And he preached a message entitled, From Garbage Cans to Drinking Containers. And I thought, where in the world did he get that? He got it right here out of 2 Timothy 2. In every house, there are a lot of different kinds of vessels, just two kinds. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Some are suited for the master's use, others aren't. But if you purge yourself from these, you can become vessels suitable for the master's use. I appreciate what Marshall Keeble did years ago in Nashville Bible School. He had young students there teaching them to preach. He was an influential man. Great ability to teach. And he had all these young students there, all men, who would one day become preachers of the gospel. And this is what he told them. He said, I'm glad you're here, but this is not going to be easy. And if you're going to proclaim the gospel to others, your life must be different from the world. No one wants to drink out of a filthy glass. You need to become a vessel of honor unto God so that he might use you. Otherwise, he won't. What we are called to do by Peter is to become different from the world. We're not here talking about justifying ourselves by our purity. We've already learned that's a vain path to follow. What we're saying here is there must be sincerity. There must be a decision made. You cannot serve God in immorality. Our worship will not be accepted. I wish, and I will, Paul said, I will, that men everywhere, when they pray, when they're leading others in prayer, they are to lift up holy hands unto God. And likewise also, ye women. Why are we to do that? Because the one who has called us is holy. And since he is holy, be ye also holy in all manner of conduct of life. We're called to be different. Paul said it this way, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. There's holiness. He's not talking about self-justification here. He's talking about coming out from the world and being different from the world. And touch not the things that are unclean. And I will receive you unto myself. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. And I will be a father unto you. P. Peter's talking to people who are being persecuted. He said, it's all right if you're being persecuted because you're a Christian. But don't be persecuted because you're an evildoer. Do what is right. And if you suffer for the name of Christ, so be it. But you be like God. God is not like the ancient God. He is different. And so we are called to be different. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our assembly today. We invite you to this kind of devotion and worship of our God. If you haven't had your sins washed away and made pure by His blood, we invite you while we stand and sing today.